For months, aid groups have warned of starvation in Gaza. There's already a crisis as Palestinians die of disease, hunger, and malnutrition. Listen to what 14-year-old Yusuf Thafish recently told NPR.
First there was flour until it ran out. Then we could get wheat, and that ran out. Then corn kernels. Then we tried animal feed. Now my mom makes us a pudding with water and starch, and we eat that.
Israel restricts shipments of aid into Gaza, including food, but denies that it's using starvation as a weapon of war. Yara Asi has studied how war has contributed to famines in history, and she's here now to provide more context. She's an assistant professor at the University of Central Florida and co-director of the Palestine Program for Health and Human Rights at Harvard University. Yara, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I want to go back to this phrase that we're hearing a lot from aid groups: famine is imminent in Gaza. Mm-hmm. But we know that hundreds of thousands of Gazans are right now experiencing really devastating levels of hunger. At which point does it reach that threshold of famine?
Yeah, that's a great question, because, you know, this is not a natural disaster. This is something that we can kind of watch happening. And so as in the early 2000s, in other instances of famine, we designated this global kind of food security alarm system called the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification. And their job is to keep an eye on instances of food insecurity, starvation, and eventually famine to warn external actors of what is coming. With regard to Gaza, they have indicated that this is the most acute and quickest incidence of food insecurity in their records since they have been recording this. So their job is to kind of tell the rest of us what they're seeing. The job of those on the outside is to prevent that from happening.
Nonprofit organizations have been putting up flags for some time now. Why do you think the impacts, the public health impacts of this war are being overlooked in large part?
Yeah, so as early as December 18th, Human Rights Watch issued a report that explicitly said starvation is being used as a weapon of war in Gaza. Our understanding of war and armed conflict is typically kind of the spectacle of bombings, of tanks in the streets, of these kinds of, you know, very visceral, viewable acts of violence. What is often missed is that most people die in armed conflict and war from indirect causes like starvation, like infectious disease, lack of access to clean water, any of the other breakdowns of society and infrastructure that we're seeing in places like Gaza. But those are much easier to look at in retrospect. In the moment, we're kind of just tracking trends day to day. But it is alarming that even with just a few months or weeks into this, these kinds of groups are saying we can already see that starvation is a man-made, human-made catastrophe in the Gaza Strip and is consistently getting worse. So as that clip said from that boy that you just played, people were trying to make things work for several weeks or months initially with what they had. Things have deteriorated now such that, especially in the north, there is literally no access to food. So the clock is really ticking for these people.
So many officials in governments around the world have said it's impossible to know whether Israel is using starvation as a weapon of war. Why, especially historically speaking, why has it been difficult to prove this?
Well, I think we need to take that into two parts. I think, one, a lot of the same countries that are being hesitant to call out Israel's actions or the consequences of their actions are doing so in large part because they have supported Israel militarily, financially, and diplomatically. And so admitting that their ally is using these tactics would be, in some ways, holding themselves complicit and enabling this behavior. But I think when we look back at history, especially more recent history, when we look at areas of other famine and mass starvation, I'm thinking Haiti, Sudan, Yemen, many of the times, these are non-state militias that are besieging territories, or there are other external factors that are leading to starvation, like in Haiti, earthquake, or, you know, kind of mass violence and insecurity in the streets. I think in those cases, we are much more willing to see the actions of, you know, actors who are perpetuating these circumstances. With the exception of perhaps Saudi Arabia in Yemen, we are not used to seeing states that are kind of on the global stage, that are allies with Western countries, seemingly purposefully enacting these policies themselves. So I think that this is kind of both a shift in practice of how war is waged, and also is kind of a wake-up call for humanitarian agencies, for human rights scholars, for really all of us in public health and others, that we need to be more forceful in the moment in calling out these actions, because weeks, months from now is too late.
Yara Aasi is a professor at the University of Central Florida and author of the book How War Kills: The Overlooked Threats to Our Health. Yara, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.